This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
Agriculture is Saskatchewan, and 620 CKRM is your source for everything ag. Welcome to our newly expanded Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Here's your host, Jim Smalley.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. It's brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today, the province releases the final crop report of the season, with 99% of harvest completed. Yields are down considerably due to widespread drought. We also take a look at harvest in next door Manitoba. Real Agriculture talks with the Conference Board of Canada and its outlook on the Canadian economy. We also take a look at container shortages for shipping pulse crops and a new report on interprovincial trade. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. And Mazenk Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazenk, 306-721-6667. The final crop report of the season says harvest is at 99% complete across Saskatchewan. Provincial Crops Extension Specialist Matt Struthers says yields are down significantly this year due to widespread drought across the Saskatchewan grain belt.
This last week was very good. Again, another great week of no rain and nice warm days. So harvest is practically complete in the province. All regions are somewhere around 99% done, and there's still a few fields out there that are left to combine, but overall, harvest is wrapped up in the province.
Outline yields for me.
They're not pretty, that's for sure. Yields across the board are well below average. The estimated yields for some crops, I can read out for you right now. So 30 bushels per acre for hard red spring wheat, 19 bushels per acre for durum, 49 bushels for oats, 34 bushels for barley, 21 bushels for canola, 22 bushels for peas, and then 870 pounds for lentils. So, that's far below the provincial averages, or for the provincial 10-year average for all those crops. But no one should be surprised by those numbers after the year we've had.
How much is the wheat and canola below average, and how is quality?
Well, wheat's fallen about 10 bushels below average for the 10-year average, but quality is holding out. It was the silver lining of the season. The most crops across the board are falling between the first and second grading for quality, so that's very good to see. That means that even though yield was down, producers can still get a bit of a premium when it comes to the elevator.
How about canola? How much below normal?
It's sitting at the provincial yield was 21 bushels, and the provincial 10-year average is 34. So more than 10 bushels down from the 10-year average. So that's quite the hit.
Some moisture concerns right now?
Oh, certainly. All season long, we've been talking about how dry it is, and usually in the fall is when we get some of that moisture to kind of relieve some stress, but we just haven't gotten it yet. All season long, most of the province has reported the majority of their topsoil moisture to be short or very short, and things haven't changed. So going into the winter, we're sitting at 12% adequate, 43% short, and 45% very short for topsoil moisture and cropland. Hay and pasture is rated as 8% adequate, 35% short, and 57% very short. So we, now that harvest is wrapped up, we definitely need a good rain going into winter, and then a really good dump of snow to help us out for next year.
How were hay yields this year?
Very poor as well. It was dry in the hay fields pretty much from the get-go, and they just didn't get enough rain over the season to get going. A lot of them weren't even cut, but the ones that were cut are yielding below a ton per acre. For alfalfa, it's 0.79 tons. For alfalfa brome, it's 0.77, and so on and so forth. The highest is 1.1 tons per acre for green feed, and that number is likely inflated just due to the fact that a lot of annual crops were cut for green feed and used as that instead of actual grain. Irrigated land did a little bit better. On average, most of the hay crop landed somewhere between 1.9 to 2.2 ton per acre. So that's a little bit better, but we're still going to be in quite the feed shortage come wintertime.
Yeah, how are winter feed supplies and livestock water supplies?
Across the province, livestock producers indicated that it ranges from inadequate to adequate, depending on herd size, of course. For supplies of hay, straw, and green feed and feed grain, heading into winter. I suspect that there'll be quite a bit of shortages that do occur in the next month or so, just with the inability of using pastures. You know, now that they move cattle home, they'll have to rely solely on bales. And then, yeah, water supplies is getting quite dire in some situations, and livestock producers have been hauling water all year. So going into the winter, there's definitely some large concerns about where they're going to source their water from.
How was seeding of winter wheat and fall rye this fall?
It's down from normal. The estimated decrease of winter cereal acres is somewhere around 17% for winter wheat, and then for fall rye, it's estimated to drop by about 12% for the province. So it's just too dry out there to get a lot of those acres in, and producers are worried about seeding into the dry ground and then nothing coming up before the cold starts, and then having issues with germination and so on in the spring. So they're just holding off and trying to conserve their moisture the best they can.
Matt Struthers compiles the weekly crop report for the Saskatchewan Ministry of Agriculture. This is the final crop report of the season.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca. And Farmtronics in Regina, your farm electronics specialists. From moisture testers to security cameras, keeping your farm running productively and efficiently since 1977. 380 Henderson Drive. Manitoba's harvest has reached 95% according to the latest crop report. Manitoba Agriculture Oilseed Specialist Dane Frey says farmers have been making excellent progress due to favorable weather.
That's right. We've had some very nice harvest weather days in the past 2-3 weeks. Unfortunately, we haven't had any rain to come along with it, but that does make harvest operations a lot easier. So we saw a rapid push into soybean harvest, and that's nearing completion in many parts of the province, as well as an overlapping start to corn and sunflower harvest.
Frey says there's been no killing frost to enable easier handling of flax.
No, we haven't. There have been some frosts near Riding Mountain National Park. However, much of the rest of the province hasn't seen the thermometer dip below zero since early May. So we've had a very long growing season as far as that goes, and a frost would certainly be welcome in nearly all parts of the province to terminate some of those regrowth and green crops that are seemingly not drying down and not dying off naturally because we had such stressful drought-like conditions early on, and those crops, when they got some September rain, decided they want to try and regrow. So some of those flax crops, some of those soybean crops, particularly headlands, low spots, those sorts of things are hanging on to the green a little longer than they should. So farmers are out there trying to hasten those along with a desiccant wherever possible, and are waiting for a frost right now.
The dry weather may be good for harvest, but it's not so good for soil moisture.
No, that's exactly it. We're in the midst of soil and water week kind of online in terms of our extension activities, and that's been a topic of great discussion. How much do we have left in the tank to grow a crop for next year? And we've had very little water to replenish our soil moisture reserves, so barring any major rainfall, we don't have much left to reverse irrigate or irrigate underground to try and supply moisture to next year's crop. We're in desperate need of snow melt that will infiltrate into the soil profile, as well as adequate growing season rainfall.
Some farmers have been applying fall fertilizer.
That's right. Fall fertilizer has begun in earnest in some parts of the province. It really depends on what the farmer is doing in terms of harvest, if he's finished or not. Anhydrous has been one of the preferred products of choice right now, just given its price point relative to urea. So we're seeing anhydrous units start in the fields, despite soil conditions being quite warm. We're encouraging farmers to use a nitrogen stabilizer or a loss reduction agent to try and maintain 4R nutrient principles. But granular products are being applied as well.
Dane Frey compiles the weekly crop report for Manitoba Agriculture.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising at realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio. I'm joined right now by Ted Mallett. He is the Director of Economic Forecasting with the Conference Board of Canada based out of Ontario. Ted, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to chat with you. So a lot of people looking at the economy right now, trying to sort out what exactly we can expect. There's a lot of variables being thrown at this Canadian economy, really the global economy in that respect. In your new report that has come out, what are you expecting for the economy here for the rest of 21, 22, and even a little bit further out than that?
Well, I mean, what a ride we've had over the past 18 months. So, you know, part of the forecast is trying to figure out how the economy actually settles down, what's changed permanently, and what actually returns to normal. So we're still in the recovery phase. The economy is going to be growing at about 5% this year, which is almost over. But, you know, we've had some significant bounce back. But the economy is still about 4% below what it should be had we not had the pandemic. So there's still some ground to make up. We think most of that ground will be made up really by the end of next year. So really all things are good, but we still have a way to go.
Yeah, and so let's talk about those gaps. What are the components of the we have a ways to go? What needs to happen?
Well, the consumer has not been spending as much as they normally do. Obviously, services like restaurants and entertainment and so on have not been a big part of the consumer spending envelope for a while. That's starting to change now that people feel a little more confident going out. We have some vaccine mandates that are helping, you know, add confidence to the public in being out in public spaces. They've kind of tapped out in spending on goods and so on. They're not spending as much on you know, the Amazons and mail order kinds of products. But they've also been spending a lot on houses lately, which we think is turning around. So we'll see some settling in the housing section and people spending more. And also, there's been a lot of excess savings built up over time. Typically, people have about, you know, $1,000 or $2,000 in excess savings. And that, you know, jumped tenfold during the pandemic. So, you know, close to $10,000 per household is sitting there, which should allow them to spend more in the next couple of years. So that will help. Government certainly helped it as well with the enhanced DI program that allowed you know, people to stay out of the labor force. Those should be winding down if done properly, and so it'll really encourage more people back into the workforce and hopefully normalize the you know, the kinds of economies that we were perhaps used to, you know, before the pandemic.
Now, inside Canada, and you know, I think of the Federal Reserve. There's been lots of comments about inflation and it being transitory. How much does Canadians' concern about inflation? How much does that factor into how much they're willing to kind of, you know, go out and buy that hot tub or, you know, go buy some stuff on Amazon from a consumer spending standpoint?
Well, I mean, higher expected spending encourages people to spend now as opposed to later, because it will be a higher cost in the next year. We still believe that these issues are transitory with respect to pricing. Much of the fact is the supply chain disruptions we've seen internationally. The fact that you can't get a shipping container from one port to another, either it's clogged up or maybe there's just not enough containers to move around. You know, those are the difficulties that take place whenever there's a big disruption to world trade. You know, because everything is kind of a well-orchestrated ballet, and you know, it, a lot of wrenches have been thrown into that sort of thing. Pardon the metaphors. So you know, prices will start to settle. We think the Bank of Canada's goal or the mandate is to really pick or find the inflation rate anywhere between 1% and 3%, with the midpoint being 2%. So that's really what we think the long term expectation is. But it may take a year, you know, another year and a half to get there.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agro weather forecast on the Source 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866.
and Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Partly cloudy today with local smoke. Wind northwest 20, becoming light this afternoon. The high today, 18. 30% chance of showers tonight, the low plus 3. Tomorrow, sunny and hazy with a high of 18, the low plus 3. Saturday, sunny, the high 17, the low plus 1. Sunday, sunny, the high 17, the low plus 1. Monday, partly cloudy, the high 13, the low plus 2. Tuesday, partly cloudy, the high 10, 60% chance of evening showers. Tuesday, the low plus 2. Wednesday, cloudy, 60% chance of showers, and a high of just 9 degrees. Normal high for this date is 13. The normal low is minus 1. The sun rose at 7:08 this morning. It sets at 6:24 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot is Estevan at 16. The cold spot up north, Collins Bay at 5. Once again, Estevan is 16. Saskatoon and Swift Current, 10. Weyburn and Yorkton, both 13 degrees. Regina, sunny and 11. That's 52 Fahrenheit. Winds are from the north-northwest at 21, gusting to 30. Humidity is 55%, the barometer rising 101.8. Sunny in Moose Jaw, 11, winds are from the northwest at 22. Once again, Regina, sunny and 11, that's 52 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
Get out to an early start on weed control in next year's canola and lentil crop using Group 3 Edge Microactive from Gowan Canada this fall. Edge Microactive, maximize yields today and manage resistance for tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The global container shipping market is becoming increasingly concentrated, and that's affecting Canadian pulse crop exports. Chris Welsh is an independent freight transport and logistics consultant. He says 20 years ago, there were 100 shipping lines competing with one another. That dropped to 30 lines 10 years ago. Today, there are 8 lines belonging to 3 shipping alliances. He says those alliances have between 86 and 98% market share of the 4 main east-west liner trades.
The industry is operating in lockstep fashion, introducing sub-level increases in rates, surcharges, at the same times, and offering the same solutions or their solutions in terms of withholding equipment, delays that are experienced, being able not to book cargo on ships.
Welsh says vessel sharing agreements among competitors affects the container market.
There's about at least 200 to 300 separate individual vessel sharing agreements which they are involved in with each other and with so-called competitors in other markets. And it's this network or vessel sharing agreements, sharing of information that goes on with that, that reinforces the dominance of the global players and is the reason why the kind of strategies that are being imposed upon shippers at the moment are able to be successful.
Another effect of a lack of competition is the reluctance to spend capital on new ships.
The container shipping industry over the last few years has not been investing in new container ships, and it's a major contributory factor to the container crunch that we're experiencing now. This high level of consolidation has the benefit of enabling shipping lines to adjust capacity allocation in line with changing demand, but combined with the resulting high levels of utilization has allowed freight rates to remain at historically unprecedented levels and imply that some potential freight may be suppressed.
Welsh says shipping lines are getting failing grades from customers for service measures like consistency and reliability.
It's quite clear that shippers are turning down orders because they know they can't supply. Cargo is left in warehouses awaiting at some point to be shipped, if it can be shipped, or it's just left on the quay. And that's the key problem that you're all facing today. And of course, what we know is that through a range of performance indicators, including the propensity increasingly just to skip ports, and performance indicators continue to compare very poorly with the pre-pandemic levels.
Welsh believes the rising cost of shipping containers is not warranted, with industry profits forecast in excess of $100 billion this year.
The overall costs experienced by the lines have barely risen. So their costs are completely under control. They're not increasing exponentially. And a lot of stories have been in the press over the last few days about carriers saying they're having to pay huge costs to charter in extra tonnage where they can. Well, some of them may be paying spot markets, but a lot of these big carriers are already locked into long-term charters and therefore not affected in the way that is being implied.
Welsh says countries like Canada need to implement government regulations to bring the shipping companies back into line.
The only way we're going to change this market is by changing the structure of the market, and that means regulatory reform, and in particular, work that I hope that I'm going to be doing with Pulse Canada and one others is looking at how we can potentially reform Canadian shipping conferences and any other measures that, if there's indications of really anti-competitive behaviour by carriers, what other steps we can take to change the dynamic and improve the shipper position.
Chris Welsh is an independent freight transport and logistics consultant. He made the previous comments during the Canadian Special Crops Conference last month.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Governments of all stripes in this country want to see new international markets open up for our agricultural products. We've signed international trade deals in recent years with Europe, the Pacific Rim, and even updated NAFTA. And yet, barriers to interprovincial trade in Canada continue to hamper trade among the provinces. And a report by the Simpson Center for Agriculture points to the damage these archaic interprovincial trade regulations are having on consumers and the agricultural industry. One of the authors of the report is University of Manitoba agricultural economist Jared Carlberg.
When we see restrictions on trade in almost any form, it really is depending, and it's true of international and interprovincial trade wherever you go. In large part, they are protectionist measures. So what we really see are cases where where those that have the authority to restrict the movements of goods and services do so in an attempt to usually procure or protect the interests of stakeholders in, for example, a geographic area. It's occasionally the case that they're protecting their own interests, but for the most part, it's usually, a province that is hoping to protect its revenue stream or protect the interests of businesses in its area or something like that.
Carlberg says he's not surprised by the lack of effort among provinces to lower interprovincial trade barriers.
It doesn't surprise me at all. It's really the case that when it comes to international trade, you might have representatives from all provinces, or certainly large industrial provinces, banding together to say, let's open up more markets for firms or producers in our country, while protecting our markets from international competition. So it is quite sensible and to be expected that you would have protectionism between provinces and among provinces, but you would also have those provinces all looking for opportunities to get together under the Canadian banner to open up markets abroad. As the report alludes to, there are absolutely massive economic benefits to be had in Canada by loosening interprovincial trade restrictions. The problem is that they're the people that are benefiting, so we know there would be an overall massive net gain if there were greater flow of interprovincial trade. The problem is there are vested interests that have a stake in preventing that from happening, and it's just too bad that we can't find a way for everyone to win, and hopefully work toward that goal will continue moving forward.
That's Dr. Jared Carlberg, an agricultural economist at the University of Manitoba. He's one of the authors of a new study looking at trade within Canada.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM. It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. Now the latest quotes.
Good afternoon. This is the Yorkton Heartland Livestock Market Report for the week of October 6th. A huge run here this week, 3140 in the sort. 460 cows and bulls, a total of 3,600 here for the week. Cows and bulls selling 5 to 8 lower. D1, D2 cows, 70 to 80, sales to 83, 84. D3 cows, 60 to 70. Cows are averaging 69 cents. Good bulls, 97 to 107, sales to 110, 111. Bulls are averaging 98 cents. On to the pre-sort sale, featuring Angus cattle at this sale. On the steer side, 310-pound little steers, 298. 420-pound black steers, 259. Here's a package of 243 black steers weighing 500 pounds. They topped out at 219. 570-pound black steers, 210. 640s at 207. My favorite pen, 710-pound steers also at 207, and 770-pound steers at 204. On the heifer side, 360-pound little heifers, 223, 420-pound black heifers, 205, 500-pounders at 190, 570-pound black heifers, 178. Here's some replacement-type heifers weighing 640 pounds at 181. Another package of replacement-type heifers, 700-pounders at 180. On the yearly market trade here, on the steer side, 850-pound yearling steers, 195, 950-pound yearling heifers at 177. On the yearling heifer side, 850-pound yearling heifers at 177. Next week, featuring Charley cattle, we will be weighing Monday and Tuesday. And please, please book your cattle. Our barn is only so big. That's it for this week at Heartland Yorkton. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend, everyone. I'm Harvey Exner. Have a good day.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork prices, this is for both the branded Moose Jaw plants, $208.12 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by the Prairie Co-op Grow Team, fueling farms, feeding families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. And brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit 2ndlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid. This month's public offering of oil and gas licenses in Saskatchewan has generated more than double the revenue from the same time last year. The October offering of Crown Petroleum and Natural Gas Rights generated $1.87 million. The Estevan area in southeast Saskatchewan brought in $1.35 million for 50 parcels totaling 30,000 acres. The highest bid was $171,000 for an exploration license. The license is west of Radville and prospective for oil in the Bakken Formation. The highest bonus bid on a lease is $161,000 for a 640-acre lease in the southeast near Roche Percy in the Bakken Formation. The highest price per acre was $995 for a 112-acre lease southwest of Stoughton. The lease to Ferret Energy is prospective for oil in the Frobisher beds of the Madison Group. Of the 81 parcels posted, 59 had acceptable bids. These bids covered 35,800 acres, and the average bonus bid was $52 per acre. This is the fourth of six sales for the fiscal year, with the next offer on December 7th. On the markets, the TSX is up 255 points at 20,447. The Dow has gained 485 points at 34,902. Oil is up 90 cents at 78.33 a barrel. The Canadian dollar has risen 22 one-hundredths of a cent at 79.63 cents U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.